Man, there's just an abundance of goodness that God has for us in so many ways. I just appreciate being able to worship with you. And I don't think we have a clue, half or hardly at all, what God really does for us. The ways he just blesses us, he provides for us, his commitment to us, he sent his son to die for us. And what an amazing thing that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords would show up in the Beulah Wesleyan Church here on the outskirts of the big city of Gillingham. And more than just show up, he has given us, poured out the gift of his Holy Spirit. So we don't just come here to be in his presence. He's going to go out the door with you. Amen. And be with you every moment of your day. He's gonna come back to me and put up with me and live in my messy house. The dishes probably haven't been done in 4 or 5 days. It's advantage of, I'm running out of plates, so it's going to have to happen pretty quick here. But God's a part of all of that. The Holy Spirit is right there, involved in our lives. And do we take that for granted, or do we keep him at arm's length? And, well, you're not, I'm open to you here at church, but at home, I don't want you to be involved. I can handle things there myself. I'm pretty comfortable in that. What an amazing thing. What love, what patience, gentleness and kindness he has in dealing with us and being willing to live inside of us. And he's just so gentle and so kind. And all of that, and why would we exclude him? Why wouldn't we open our hearts to him? Why wouldn't we be all the more eager to allow him to not just be a part of our lives, but actually to be in control of our lives? He might know better than I do. Matter of fact, he does in every situation and circumstance. He knows what's going on. He knows what I need. He knows the situation. He knows what the solution is. He knows what the future is for each of us. And so why don't we avail ourselves a little bit more of that and just make him a part of our everyday life? He's so eager to be involved with us. And that all just kind of leads into, the message this morning. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit. I think we're wrapping it up here, but boy, I think about it and I keep going, oh, there's a lot more you could say. We have just scratched the surface of the dynamic of this relationship that God has provided for us, this helper, this comforter, this Spirit of truth, this empowering force or personality within us. And not just a spirit, but an actual person. Liken that a little bit in my ponderings to almost the marriage. You know, you marry somebody, they're a permanent part of your life. And you daily interact with them. And you daily joy and grow together and live together. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to be with us is not just that feelings or things like that. He wants to be a living personality that wants to be a part of our lives and interact with us. And again, we've talked about this, and I'm losing track of even the weeks, the months that we've been on this. And it's still not enough because it's not just the head, it's not just the knowledge, it's the experience. is the only way that you can do that. You can talk about something till you're blue in the face, but until you do it, until you experience it, it's not real to you. And that is God's hope and plan for us to experience Him in very real and tangible ways, very powerful ways. Today we're finishing up just the varieties of effects of what we're calling this, and basically what we usually think of as the gifts of the Spirit. And maybe when you say we're talking about the Holy Spirit, a lot of people, that would be the first place they would go. Oh, yeah, the gifts of the Spirit and what He does. And I think it's more fitting that it's maybe at the end of that and the whole foundation we have built of who the Holy Spirit is, to then get to these effects, these powers that He is giving us. This can be overemphasized at times. There's people that take this to extremes and maybe gives gifts and the Holy Spirit Himself a bad name because of that, or a bad reputation. It can be very abused and it can be very divisive in the church. And so we need to find that where that balance is, because that is certainly not God's intent, His heart, if you know Him, to be abusive, to be controlling, to make it all a show. In that, and yet we sometimes attracted to those things. We like to see the miracles, we like to see the things and the crowds that they could do. Talked about this quite a while ago. The Corinthian church was an immature church. It was struggling with these things of maturity in Christ. He talks about that earlier in the book. And so here is the place where the gifts are, in the spiritual things, are talked about the most, to clarify that for them. The Holy Spirit was active in all of the churches that He wrote to. It was the Corinthian church that He zeroed in and really gave the information and the most emphasis on that. And I'm not saying this is an immature church or that, but all of us are so much more room to grow. So much more experience of the fullness of what God has. And with that, then the effectiveness and the fruitfulness in our own lives. God has so much more for us. So we've been here, 1 Corinthians 12:4 through 6. It's kind of the basis of these last 3 weeks where we've been going. There's a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. And there are varieties of effects, but the same God, who works all things in all persons. And so here we have these three categories that are all spiritual. You could lump them together as all spiritual gifts. They're things that God does for us, gives to us in kind of different categories. That the gifts from the Holy Spirit are from the Holy Spirit, and we've talked about those. That's the inner design of how you were created, how you see the world, and it's kind of how we work, how you're going to operate, how you respond to things. Then there's the ministries that are from the Lord, and that's our place, that's the role that we have in the church and in the community and the body of Christ. That's where we work in the body of Christ. You know, where we fit into this whole bigger picture of what God is doing. And then we get to the effects, which are from God here, from the same God. And they are through the Holy Spirit, what He is doing, Him working in us, how He works in us. So it's where, how we work, where we work, and then how He works are those three things. This word effects here, that it's talking about, that the root of that is energy, is power. That dynamic inside of you, or that's not you, but it's God flowing through you to do more than your own capabilities. So we see these effects, I believe, listed in same chapter 8 through 10. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another to the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. Okay, so here's a list of nine, if I counted them right, of different effects, different movings, manifestations of God that are available to all of us and are going to work in us. And I don't think it's in the wording there is a little there, but I don't think it's just like you get one gift. You know, everybody gets one. You line up, we're going to count off by nines, and you get this one, this one. This one is, as these effects are a much more dynamic thing that we can have. The gifts of healing are always, that's a plural form in that word. I don't think anybody has the gift of healing where they can just go around and lay hands on everybody, anybody that they want to. As much as he's giving you gifts to give to somebody else in that. In actually the healings, they're gifts of healings. If you go to the original text, that's also a plural word there as well. And the effects, what does it say? The effecting of miracles. That word effects there can also be translated, and it is just about as often, works of power. We tend to think miracles of something, you know, really just mind-blowing, impossible types of things. But a miracle can just be a work of power beyond your own ability to do that. It doesn't have to be big, impossible, or spectacular. Distinguishing of spirits is also a plural form there. It's not there. So there's a variety of effects, and nine of them listed there. And these are the Holy Spirit doing a supernatural work in you and through you. He's giving you information or power beyond your own abilities. It's not how smart I am. It's not me figuring things out or anything like that. It's something that God gives me to do something beyond my ability, beyond my understanding, beyond my strength, beyond the authority that I have in myself to do these things. Again, these can be controversial. They're mysterious. They're kind of unknown. They're unusual. We don't understand them. And so sometimes, again, they get abused, and people, you know, oh yeah, we're going to have this big emotional thing and everybody's going to be healed and things like that. And God can do whatever he wants. But it's not something we manufacture or we manipulate. And too often, I think we try to do that. We get a taste of God's power, and then we think we can control it. We think he's given us that gift, and he's given it to us to use however we want, to build ourselves up to do those things. And yet, I think these workings, as we talk about this, the workings of the Spirit is, again, because he dwells inside of us. And he's, way back to the beginning, he communicates through our spirit into our soul, into our mind, will, and our emotions. And so it's not looking for voices and signs and, look at up in the cloud, that looks like this, and therefore God is telling me, oh, that cloud looks like Egypt. He's telling me to go to Egypt. As much as it's going to be, you know, that calm speaking to you within you, that he's going to give you those answers and going to speak to you. And not that he can't, again, God can do whatever he wants with these things. So again, caution with these supernatural workings, the signs and wonders, you might call them, are not for show. It's not for building us up. In reality, the results of those, it should be humbling to you. Oh, God is using me to speak to somebody? God is going to use me to heal somebody? No, no. He must have chose the wrong person. He doesn't know. Well, yes, he does know me. And that's exactly why he might be choosing me or you to do those. Because he wants it to be for his glory, not yours. And he doesn't want that to build you up and to think, oh, I'm a pretty important person. Look at the power God's given me. As much as look at how much God loves all of us and how he wants us to be a body and to work together to accomplish, make a difference in this world, to be the light, to be the salt, to take the gospel around the world, to see other lives transformed and changed and people living in victory just like he is doing for us. So with that, he gives a list in 8 through 10 of these 9 effects, that workings of God that are available to us. But he surrounds them. If we look at verse 7 and verse 11 before that, again, he's kind of setting the stage for that or telling us important things. In verse 7, before he gives this list, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Each one is given. If you are a believer in Christ, he's giving you these things. He's making them available to you. Are you going to receive them? Are you going to operate them? But again, it's not for you. It's not for building your name up or for anything that you take pride of. It's for the common good. Now, you're going to grow, and you're going to benefit using these things as well. Your faith is going to be, oh, my goodness, God can heal people. He has the power to do that, and he's got enough power to do it through somebody as frail as me. It's going to build you up, but it's going to build the others up. The common good for all is the purpose of this. But one in the same Spirit, and he ends that list then, but one in the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. Okay? And again, he's giving these individually to all, working all of these things out. But he is the one in control. He's the one that is doing this. It's not up to us to fulfill his. He's equipping us to do his work, to spread the gospel. It's not at our command. We can't conjure these things up. I maybe healed somebody yesterday, or I prophesied to somebody yesterday, but that doesn't mean I still got to wait. It's still got to be the Lord's leading to do that again today. We don't control these things ourselves. They're under his control, and he does it just as he wills because he sees the much bigger picture of what's going on. And again, he can take those things away from us if need be to if they're getting out of control. So he prompts us, gives us those nudges to do these things. Hey, speak to this person. I've got this message for you. He pray for this one. Go do this. Proclaim this in faith. Those promptings. But it's still then under our control. He never violates our free will. He does not come in and force us to do these things. Now, he can be urgent at times. He can just, no, this is important. You got to do this. But it's still our choice. No, I'm too busy. No, that's just my imagination. Oh, he could never use somebody like, no, he never use somebody like me. I'm not worthy and those things. So, they are, it says these gifts are still under our control of how we use them. It's our choice what to do with them. And in that, there's a process of learning and growing too. Okay, I'm going to try this. I'm going to speak to somebody. I'm going to call somebody. I'm going to believe something that God is showing me. I'm going to act on something that he's telling me. And you learn and grow from, well, no, maybe I missed it that time. Maybe, you know, or that, or that. I think we as having said all of that, we sometimes make this way too mysterious, way too unusual, way too supernatural. And again, we sometimes see how they're carried to the excess and they're abused and things like that. And we tend to shy away from these things. But just like all the things that we've talked about that the Holy Spirit does for us and through us, it's not some big, scary, supernatural, type of thing, as much as it's a natural process, again, of the Holy Spirit living inside of you and speaking to you and prompting you and nudging you and encouraging you to do these things, to step out in the faith of what you're hearing, what he's telling you, what your heart is saying, his Spirit bearing witness with your spirit. So for all of these things, and again, boy, you can read the books and the definitions of what all these things are. They're not all that complicated. They're not of this world. They're supernatural. But each and every one of them, I believe, with maybe the exception of one, we can see just in the life of Jesus. Jesus was a person, human as us, born here, lived in this world, and he walked in the Spirit. You know, he wasn't more intelligent than any of the average of us. He wasn't better looking, it says, than the average of us. He wasn't necessarily stronger. He wasn't any of those things. He just knew the Holy Spirit and walked in that Spirit. And that's what he says. Hey, I'm not doing anything. I'm just doing what God tells me. I'm just doing what the Spirit tells me to do. So we can, if we want to understand these nine things, we can just look at the life of Jesus and see how they manifested through him. And then all of a sudden, it's not so mysterious and scary and spooky of doing supernatural things, because Jesus did it and he was human just like we were in that sense. So the words of wisdom, didn't Jesus have that? You know, they would ask him the toughest questions, you know, just trapped. There's no good answer to these things. And he always came up with the right answer. Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? I mean, there's no good answer to that. And yet he had the perfect answer. Now, he didn't sit up all night thinking, what if they asked me this question? What should I think and stuff like that? I think the Spirit just gave him a word of wisdom of this is how I give to Caesar what's Caesar and to God what's God. Oh, brilliant answer. I couldn't have dreamt that up if I'd have sat for 100 years thinking. But the Holy Spirit just laid it on him. Aren't all of his parables, all of his teachings, where did those come from? Oh, the word of God is like a mustard seed. The kingdom of God is like 10 virgins. And all of those stories, where did those come from? He wasn't just this amazingly smart guy. It was the Holy Spirit telling him, showing him those things. What about words of knowledge? Didn't he at times have specific knowledge that he had? You know, he'd just be walking along and he would know what the disciples were talking about behind him. You know, oh, what were you guys talking about while we were walking? They were talking about who's the greatest, or different things like that, that he would just know, or the events that were going to happen. Faith. Didn't he have that confidence, to boldness to say and to just step up and do things? Commanding the wind and the sea to be quiet without a word of doubt? Hey, you just be quiet, be still. And they obeyed him. He turned the water into wine. Hey, you pour the water in there. Okay, go serve it to the master there. Oh, this is the best wine ever. Why'd you save it till last? Why did you save it till we're running out? The bread, the loaves and the bread and the fish and stuff like that. Just gonna pray and bless it and we'll just keep handing it out. He had the faith to do something like that. 5,000 of you sit down. I can invite 20 of you to a lasagna dinner. But I don't know that I've got faith to invite the whole city of Richland Center, but Jesus did. I said, no, I'm going to feed y'all. I can do that. And I just, all I need is 7 loaves and 2 fishes or whatever. So he had that faith. Gifts of healing. There are too many stories of those to talk about where he laid hands on people. He prayed for people. He just said the word and they were healed. And the authority there to cast out spirits as well that he had. But also, as we said, not always. He went into his hometown in Nazareth and he said, well, he couldn't do many, there wasn't many healings and stuff there because the spirit wasn't there, it wasn't the time, the person wasn't ready to receive it, and things like that. So he had that gift, but there were limitations to that. He did that. Effects of miracles, works of power. Didn't he have that, and again, those go back to getting some of these examples, the water into wine. He could do that, to multiply the words of that. He could walk on water. The works of power that he could do. And then the prophecy is the next one. And that's kind of a twofold thing of that. The foreknowledge of things to come. How did he know that? He knew. And he was telling his disciples weeks ahead of time, I'm going to Jerusalem and they're going to crucify me. They're going to reject me. And I'm going to rise from the dead. And he sits down and talks to his disciples and says, this is what's going to happen in the last days. This is what it's going to be like. And stuff like that. Those type of words of prophecy. Again, where did those come from? All of that. But there's another side of prophecy of just understanding scripture and being able to speak those things. I'm going to talk a little bit about prophecy in a little bit and dive into that a little bit more. But he sits down with his disciples the night before he was going to be betrayed and crucified the next day. He knew that. The disciples were clueless. They did not know at all. And here he, for 3 chapters in John, he's giving them instructions. This is what you need to know. Exhortation. This is what's going to happen. This is what you're going to have to do. Here's my promises to you. He gave us all that to that an instruction to do that. Again, the words of prophecy, scripture, and he was giving us scripture at that point in time. I'm not so sure our gift of prophecy is going to be more, this is what God's word says, than some out of the blue word of prophecy. And then distinguishings of spirits. He had that insight into people. Nathanael, the story goes in John, he saw Nathanael at a distance, and Nathanael comes up and he says, oh, here's an Israelite with whom there's no guile. He sees Peter and sees his heart and sees his spirit and says, here's the one, you're going to be the rock. You're going to be that and that. And he knew Judas too. He's the one that's going to betray me. So another example of that would be the rich young ruler as well. Here's a guy that's got everything going on the outside, comes up and falls down before Jesus and says, oh, good teacher, what do I got to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus looks at him and sees something inside of him and says, this guy's heart, there's something missing in this guy's heart. Looks great on the outside, but I see something different. And he really gave that guy a hard time. He didn't accept the compliment. What do you mean calling me good? There's nobody good but God. You're just going to butter me up, I'm a good teacher, or are you going to say, am I God? Are you going to admit that? And then he gives him, well, just sell everything and follow me. I don't know that he tells that to everybody, but he was distinguishing something in that guy's spirit. And again, then amazing, you let the guy walk away. And it says Jesus loved that person. So the distinguishing of spirits, again, is something that we see in Jesus' life. The only one that we're not aware of is speaking in tongues, different kinds of tongues. I don't see any record of Jesus doing that. But Jesus went away a lot of nights and prayed by himself. And we don't know what he was speaking, how he communicated with God. What language did he use when he had those conversations with God? And so I don't rule that out because of that. And you know, and as I look at that and as I think of that, we see those all in Jesus, but then all of a sudden I begin to recognize, hey, you know what? God has done some of those things for me or through me, too. There have been times when he has given me a specific word, a specific scripture to share with a specific person. And sometimes I've got to seek them out and all of that and just, hey, the Lord's laid this on my heart. He wants you to hear this. And they say, oh, that rings true. Or they go, no, depending on where their heart is. But isn't that a word of wisdom to that? Sometimes a word of knowledge. He has just whispered something to me of, there's something going on in this person's life. And I've had that happen to me too, where God has revealed that and somebody's walked up to me and said, I know what you're struggling with. And not maybe that directly. But God can do that through us. That is not that unusual. Many of you have maybe had those types of things. Sometimes he just gives you the faith to know those things are going to work out. Certainly at times, it could go through the whole list of those things. I don't know, have I healed anybody? I know, but I claim healing for myself quite often. And there's healings beyond just the physical side of things as well. Sometimes it's an emotional healing or something like that, and the words that we say might make a difference in somebody's life, might set them free. Neither do I condemn you. And this is the word of God for you, and that can bring healing and a freedom to them to speak those things. And again, it's not my authority. It's not me saying those things. It would be the Holy Spirit just saying, this is the message that you have that I want you to give to these people. We could go on miracles. I don't know, have I done miracles? Have I done things of power? Sometimes I've been obedient and it's been an answer to prayer to somebody else. And they would say that was a miracle. And it's touched their hearts and lives. It was no big thing for me. I just slipped some money into their hand or something like that, and it was the exact amount they needed that they had been praying for. God just told me, do those things. You know, this is what I want you to do. I want you to call this person. I want you to show up there. Those can be miracles in people's lives. Intuition. Sometimes, you know, you just get that feeling, there's something not right with this person. I'm not putting my trust in you. Looks good on the outside, but that, or no, here's a guy, a kindred spirit, or a person with a kindred spirit. There's a connection between us. They're on the same wavelength. They have the same heart for God that I do. And I can trust them with everything. So all of these things, Jesus did them, so can we. I'm not telling these stories about myself to build myself up near as much as for you to say, oh yeah, I've done those things too. You know, or I felt those promptings to do those things, and maybe I haven't had the courage to act on them yet. All of that, these things are not as mysterious or as scary as we think they are, these supernatural things that God can do. It should be part of our everyday life, again, with the Spirit living inside of us. He's giving us information. He's telling us things. He's given us gifts to share with the rest of the body of Christ. So how does this all fit together? How do we handle all this? How do we look at that? What's our expectations? What's our role in these things? Three verses here that he goes to 1 Corinthians, the end of this chapter of chapter 12 that we've been on for the last 3-4 weeks, he says, but earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I will show you still a more excellent way. And then he jumps into the love chapter, chapter 13, of what difference does it make? You can do all of these miracles and all of these fantastic, special, supernatural things if you don't love the people. You're not going to accomplish anything. You'll probably do more harm than good. And then it goes into chapter 14 after chapter 13, and he starts that with, pursue love, yet earnestly desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. And at the end of chapter 14, then, he says this, therefore, my brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy. Three times there, earnestly desire the greater gifts. Our feeling that of the Holy Spirit in these gifts, they are great things that God wants to give you to build your faith and to build up the body of Christ and to prove his goodness and his grace in the lives of others. Earnestly desire these things. Seek after these things. These things are the key to victories. These are the key to the effectiveness in our lives. Again, without him, we're not going to do anything. If it's just up to me and my wisdom and my strength, I'm going to make a mess every time I jump into something. But if I can hear him and his leading, then that's going to, it's going to have fruit and effective work in doing those things. You don't have to fear these things. You don't have to be hesitant. He's giving them for the good of all of us. We can expect them. We can trust he's going to do that. Believe. And as we walk into that, we can begin to trust him, but to practice, to experiment. We might not get it right every time. You don't have to have an A+ on every paper, 100 on every test you take. But you learn and grow through those things just as much, to learn and grow. But don't forget that whole middle part doesn't do any good if you don't have love. And again, where does that love come from? It's the fruit of the Spirit in you. It's the transforming work that he's doing. Even to love your enemies, even to see them differently. Again, that distinguishing in spirits. Here's a hurting person. He's obnoxious, he's rude and all of that, but again, God can show me, no, here's a person that's hurting. Here's a person that needs somebody to love him even when he's acting unlovable. And what we get here then is this earnestly desiring, and it says there, especially that you may prophesy. Desire earnestly to prophesy. So let's just zero in on that very, very quickly. What is that? What does that mean? 1 Corinthians 14:3 gives us the key to that. The one who prophesies speaks to men for edification, exhortation, and consolation. That is the greatest thing that we can do. Again, it's probably going to flow through Scripture, but that is something we can all do in our conversations, in our interactions with each other, to have God's heart, because God is living in us, to have God's love and compassion for these people, and then to speak kind and loving, encouraging words to them, comforting words to them when they need that, convicting words when they need to hear that, for exhortation, for edification, to build each other up. We're on the winning side. And God's promises that we are going to win. So we can all do that. The power we have in our words and the power we have in Scripture. If we can not just, well, here's my advice, here's my counsel, my opinion on this matter, but here is what God says in this matter. And again, the Holy Spirit can direct you to do that. Here's the Scripture that applies, and here's what God is saying to you through all of that. Now, the one thing I didn't address is speaking in tongues in all of this, very controversial. Not going to spend a lot of time on it. There's a handout sheet in your bulletin. There's some more in the back if you didn't get that. Just kind of highlighting some of the Scripture there in 1 Corinthians 14 about that. Let me just say here that do not be afraid of that. Be open to that. And if you experience that, if you are being led that way or that feeling of that, don't be afraid, but to embrace it. It's not forced. It's not mandatory. It's not a sign that you've been filled with the Holy Spirit if you do that. But it is a gift that has value to that. And let me do an ending commercial quickly with this. The evenings, meetings that we're having, just to talk about these things. And again, if questions about tongues and stuff like that, we can go over that sheet tonight in kind of more of a discussion format. I know there's different views within this congregation of those things and within the church in that, but I don't think it has to be a scary mystery to that. And just on those the Sunday night meetings, I'd be glad to have you come. And if you've still got questions, I handed out that list of motivational gifts. You've kind of been looking at that and struggling. I'm not exactly sure what I fit in. Let's come and we can talk about that. And maybe the rest of the body of that can help you. Sometimes other people see us more clearly than we see ourselves. So I'd be glad to have you come for those things. I just want to wrap this up, and we won't do this last verse. It does talk about us being, we're all baptized by one Spirit. We are all baptized into one body. There are different parts. This Holy Spirit's going to look different in each of us. It's going to manifest itself differently at different times, and in each of us we're going to see things differently. You're going to have different roles within the church, but we are all called to be one body, a part of those things, and to live together. Not a family that goes different directions and can that, but one body that has to stick together, has to operate. Something is missing if you're missing. So with all of that, and just by your grace, before we do the let's look at Sunday afternoon questions, and then just want to have a little bit of a time of response. In what ways do you see the Holy Spirit working in your life? If you've been born again, if you've been asked Jesus into your heart, the Holy Spirit is there and available. Are you aware of Him working? Second question, has the Holy Spirit ever enabled you to supernaturally know or do something beyond your own ability? Where did that come from? How did that happen? How did I know to say that? How did I show up at that place at that time at just the right time for that, and to begin to recognize that might be the Holy Spirit? It was just fun for me to think through those things. And then lastly, are you a member of the body of Christ? Or are you just kind of living your own Christian experience, my personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Or are you connected to the body where we're growing together? To consider. So I think I would be amiss here. We've talked so much about the Holy Spirit that if I wouldn't just give us a chance to respond to the Holy Spirit. I believe that you are given the Holy Spirit when you're saved. It's through the Holy Spirit that you are saved. But that's not often taught in the church. And we have the times in Acts and stuff like that that the apostles come, the leaders, they come and say, did you receive the Holy Spirit? And their response was, well, I didn't know. Nobody ever told us that. Now, the Holy Spirit was probably working in their lives, but they weren't aware of that. And so sometimes it was just in their answer to there was, well, let's receive them. Let's pray for it. We'll lay hands on you if we need to do that to receive the Holy Spirit. And again, this to me, this is connected with salvation as well. It's yielding your heart and life to Jesus. You are Lord first. And then as Lord, you're also my Savior. So I'd just ask you, if you would please, to stand up here as we close this service. And so that this is a time of God just speaking to you, to could be that response of, Lord, I just need to surrender my life to you. I need your salvation. I need to be born again. I've been trying hard, but things just aren't working well for me. And it might be yeah, I was saved. I believe that God has changed my heart, but I'm not living in the power and the victory. Nobody's ever really talked about the Holy Spirit. And I just want to open up my heart and receive that gift today. And you can do that as you stand right where you are now. I would also just give you the invitation that sometimes it makes it more real. It helps to come forward and have somebody pray with you. Somebody to actually physically touch and lay hands on you to receive these gifts, to talk to you about those things. And so you are welcome to respond. Open your hearts to, again, God is here and God wants to be very real and very powerful in your hearts and lives. And again, you do not have to come forward, but do what God is prompting you to do as we close in prayer. And if you want to come forward, we'd be glad to pray with you. We'll be glad to, if need be, and that's going to help lay our hands on you, some of the leaders of the church, to have that experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit that you can maybe kind of hang your hat on. It's not just maybe kind of feelings, I think something is happening, but no, today. And God can give you that experience, whatever that looks like for you, okay? So let's just, as you stand in God's presence, open your heart to him and be obedient to just what he's saying. If he's calling you, asking you to do something, don't shy away. Don't back off. Don't hesitate. God has good things for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for these people that come here today that you brought here that are standing here in your presence. This is holy ground. You are holy and you invite us to be holy with you. You believe in us and want to change and transform us enough that you are willing to send your Holy Spirit to live inside of us, to transform us, to change us, to give us the ability and the power to live a victorious life and then to spread that life to other people as well through the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. So Lord God, that you know the hearts of these people, where they are. Lord, you speak to them. You embrace them as Lord, as they open their hearts to you. You minister to them, Lord, in ways that only you can. And Lord, if there's somebody that just needs to come forward, needs to have that real experience to solidify what you're doing, to testify to what you're doing, give them the courage to just to step forward even now as we pray. Father, as you speak to people and whatever you're doing, Lord, well, I want to give you thanks and praise. You are worthy. I'd be lost without you, God. And look what you've done in my life, Lord, the change that you've made, that I have the privilege of standing here and testifying of you and speaking your word and encouraging these people, edifying and exhorting and comforting these people. And Lord God, that is you working in our midst. And Lord, we have just begun to see what that could be. Lord, we limit you so often in our busyness and in our unbelief. So, Lord, have your way in our hearts and lives, Lord. As much as we humanly can, Lord, we open our hearts to you this day at your mercy. And yet what a safe and great place to be. Continue to work in this church. Continue to move and bless in people's hearts and lives. And, Lord, as we prepare for these special services, Lord, call us to these places. Prepare us. Make us hungry to hear your voice. And Lord, help us to step out in faith and be living witnesses and filled with your goodness, filled with your joy. Lord, as I fly out to Colorado this week, Lord, give me that me and my brother, the fullness of that, just the power to speak, the wisdom to speak, or the wisdom to be quiet, to have the conversations that, Lord, you want us to have with this extended family of ours. So, Lord, we commit ourselves to you then in Jesus' name for your glory, for your praise, for all times. You are worthy. We rejoice and celebrate in you this day. In Jesus' name then, amen. Thank you all. Thank you all for staying a little bit longer here.